Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I'm Vince Mancini.
And this is Pod Yourself a Gun, a Sopranos podcast where Vince and I go through every single episode of the hit HBO series The Sopranos and talk about it. It is an original concept, never been done before. And today, our guest is the great and powerful Anna Hosnaya.
Thank you. You know, and I do have a Sopranos podcast called Sopran Yourself a Gun.
God
and,
damn it.
Offensive.
Could you imagine?
You know Anna from the Ethnically Ambiguous podcast. You know her from the Daily Zeitgeist. Basically, you know her. She is the queen bee of podcasting. And today, it is you are honored to be our guest. I think
yes,
I was going to say.
I think it was
the other way
you
around.
You did the script wrong. You started reading other people's parts.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'm honored to
you
be
are
here.
Honored to be here. It's an honor and a privilege.
Do you have Sopranos history? Is this your...
Yes.
Have you watched the whole thing all the way through
I've
before?
Seen it twice all the way through.
Okay.
Nice.
Apple polisher.
I saw it when it was airing. My father insisted we watch it.
Uh-huh.
Too young to really
get it.
I got it, but sure. I shouldn't have been watching it.
See, I feel like all children should watch The Sopranos.
Yeah, I was like 9 though, because it came out in 1999.
I guess this episode.
And my dad was like, "So this is real TV, not your stupid crap you're always watching on Saturday mornings." And we were like, "Sick."
You're like, "I'm watching Sister. Yeah. What are you doing to me?"
And I was like, "This is boring. There should be more shooting and murder."
Yeah.
And then my dad's like, "It'll pick up," and it did. And you know, I was the person who was like buying the box sets at Costco. I had like all the box sets, multiple of some of the seasons, because you would lose a disc. You'd be like, "Well, I have to buy the whole thing again."
Yeah.
As an adult, like, do you feel bad that you put your dad in that position? Like, you've probably been in that position where you've recommended a TV show to someone, and they're like, "Well, is something gonna happen soon?"
Oh, I hate that.
That's never happened to me.
And then you're like in a cold
like,
sweat.
I only like good shit.
I don't feel bad at all because, again, I was too young to be watching that. And then slowly after, The Wire came on and we were like, okay, we'll watch The Wire as well. And then I became a little too familiar with Baltimore and like how drugs work.
Right.
All right.
So you watched The Wire on the first run?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like a small club. You and like, I don't know, 57 other people.
My dad's very strict. He wouldn't let you watch anything you wanted to watch.
Sure.
But if you watched what he wanted to watch, you could stay up all night watching it.
That's
you
amazing.
Know, I like that. I like that. I like that style of parenting.
Yeah.
Like my whole life, I'd be like, "I'm going to put on One Tree Hill." My dad's like, "No, you're not allowed to watch TV. You're too young." And then I'd be like, "Okay, I'll put it on MASH." And he's like, "Perfect. I'll join." And you're like, "Oh, okay, whatever."
Suicide is painless.
Yeah.
It's true.
I love that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw the movie Magnolia with my parents in theaters, and that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had because there was cocaine and there was titties and there was like
ass to ass.
No, you're thinking.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Requiem for a Dream. Sorry.
And then there was also there was like child molestation and there was yelling. To me, the yelling was the worst part.
Yeah,
everyone was yelling at
adult
each other.
Themes.
Many adult themes, and it was very,
adult
very
volumes.
Hard. And so I was very, very bored and very, very mortified. So,
today we're going to discuss episode 9 of The Sopranos, Boca.
Sure.
Which is apparently a double entendre because, it means...
Well, because
it could mean the town, but it also could mean mouth.
Yeah, because it's Boca Raton, which is a place that Junior goes, and we'll get into that. And it's also Boca as in mouth, as in like don't run your mouth. And there's a lot of running your mouth themes in this episode. But before we do that, I think we should play the theme song.
That's right.
All right, let's do it. Pod. Pod. Podcast. Podcast.
Pod. 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 Podcast.
Wow, I can't wait for HBO to come for you. Like, yeah, we get that you said pod a bunch of times in it, but it's copyright infringement.
I mean, is protected by the laws of parody.
There's parody laws. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Have you ever not seen the dumb Starbucks episode of Nathan For You?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're... If dumb I think Starbucks we fall right is under
allowed,
that.
Then pod yourself a gun. It's got to be allowed.
I think so.
I mean, that if they possibly sue us, we will be, you know, bankrupt. But they won't. They have to sue all the other ones first.
Now, this is produced by our limited legal corporation.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that can go bankrupt.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, there's like $1,000 in that.
So this episode premiered March 7th, 1999, taking it to the Wayback Machine.
Let's go to the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, so the number one movies that weekend. Oh. Analyze This.
Wow.
Another movie about a mobster who goes to a psychiatrist.
You know, we've been waiting for this moment, I think, for the entire season. Because we've been talking about the fact that it must have sucked to be David Chase in the moment that he is full on making The Sopranos. It's in production. And then he finds out that the exact premise of his show is going to be a dumb comedy with, you know...
Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro.
And Robert De Niro, the greatest mafia movie actor of all time, next to Al Pacino.
Which is funny. You don't even remember that movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
You remember it like as it's like the start of Robert De Niro's downward slide?
Yeah.
That was the start? I guess was his high point like Mean Streets? That's like when he started. That was it. What downhill was, from there. It.
Yeah, everything's
back. I'm trying to think of like after that fact, after that he started doing a bunch of dumb comedies like Meet the Parents.
Did all the Meet the Parents movies. One, I mean, I remember the preview where he's getting stabbed in the erection with a needle by Ben Stiller because he has like a 4-hour erection from one of his pills. And I remember that vividly.
That must have been Meet the Fuckers because I do not remember that scene at all.
The other number two movie this week on this weekend was Cruel Intentions.
Ooh, that was a classic. Sexy. Now that's a movie.
See, that actually connects too because there's a little cunnilingus in that one as well.
Yeah, there's a little bit of lum lum.
Okay.
That's what I call it.
See, that's a choice you've made.
I mean, you know, I think everyone calls it lum lum.
Other news stories from March 7th, 1999. U.S. believes Bin Laden is hiding in CIA-built caves.
Wow.
And then there's this article from the New York Post predicting the future trends, which is fun to go back and see what they thought the future trends were going to be. 1999 headline, phones have an eerie future. Get ready for a time when household appliances talk to each other and telephone calls are received inside your head, says telecommunication experts.
Damn.
In the coming millennium, a single wire or pipe... We'll plug in very technical term pipe. We'll plug into your home computer network, linking phone, internet, and cable services.
Hell yeah, lay some pipe in my dome, dude.
It will allow all machines and appliances in your house or apartment to communicate with one another.
Yeah.
Dude.
At 7:30 in the morning, your lights will come on, your curtains will open, your coffee maker will start brewing, and a soft computer voice will come out through the speakers saying, "Wake up," says Ted Wirth, co-founder of Digital Club Network.
I'm sure that Digital Club Network really worked out.
That's more for like rich people have that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I still have that one pipe.
Yeah,
but,
it's called a maid.
Yeah. Yeah. But like rich people like have that kind of shit. They have everything programmed on their iPad.
No, but I also I have a small studio apartment in Los Angeles, but even so I still bought a bunch of those magic bulbs that change color and stuff that are Wi-Fi connected. They're like $20 each, and I bought like an Alexa, so every time I come to my apartment I go, "Alexa, bedroom on." And then it turns on my bedroom.
You only have one room.
It's so sad because it's like the bedroom is also the
like,
living room.
Why bother? Just stay in the dark, you sad fuck.
You are an animal. Lie in your filth.
This article is like a nice mix of things that did come to pass and things that were way off base.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, mobile devices such as your car, watch, or handheld computer will communicate with mechanical devices in your home through wireless internet connections. The microwave will know when your car is a half mile away to cook your soup, says Doug Rushkoff,
who's going to put the soup in there, you fucking moron?
Author of Media Virus, a book about the future of information exchange. Wireless telephones will take on many new functions. The phone will become a more personal device, connecting to data like phone books, address books, calendars, and email, says Bruce Casrell, a senior analyst for Forrester Research in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Just say porn.
They knew it was porn.
We know it's porn. It's
People
porn.
Will eventually think of these phones as their wallets. They won't leave home without them.
That's true, though, dude. I have basically a wallet in my phone.
And tomorrow's cellular models won't look much like today's. Cell phones will soon shrink to the size of a hearing aid, predicts Jason McCabe Calacanis, editor and publisher of Silicon
Alley.
That's
more like
Reporter.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
That's one step away from being embedded in you biologically, says Calacanis. It's a brave new world.
Yeah, well, you know, they were right about two things. Number one, that phones will be everywhere. And number two, Bin Laden probably was hiding in CIA caves.
Yeah, and now if they'd further explored that instead of worrying so much about the future, maybe 9/11 wouldn't have happened. You know what? Think about it.
Yeah. Get that phone out of your ear and go kill Bin Laden, you idiot.
Yeah. You know, he's in a cave literally watching, like, what was it on his hard drive all that stuff came out? He's like watching like Final Fantasy probably.
Yeah. And like, then really, after the fact, they found 9/11 conspiracy
theory.
Yeah,
he found like loose change. He's like, oh, that's hilarious.
He's watching it. Just
that's like his Sopranos.
He just wants credit.
Yeah.
He must have been pissed. Anyways.
Yeah. So
also a ton of karaoke. He loved karaoke.
Oh, loved it.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves karaoke. He's not a monster.
He's a human.
He's a human being.
He's like any other Joe on the street.
He's the regularest guy you've ever met.
Who will kill your family to prove a point. Okay.
I mean, I get it. All right. So.
Very Sopranos.
Sopranos. This episode, episode 9, season 1.
This is following possibly the strongest episode of season 1.
Yeah,
the
last
one.
Definitely.
The Tennessee Moltisanti about Chris becoming a screenwriter.
Yeah.
That one, very funny.
Yeah.
This one,
well,
I'm going to say not so much.
We had different opinions. I thought this is one of my favorites of the season. And the episode synopsis, Uncle Junior enjoys a romantic tryst in Boca with his girlfriend Bobby, not realizing that she's been gabbing to her beauty parlor friends about his oral talents. Meanwhile, controversy arises when Meadows' soccer coach announces he's leaving the school. So that's the synopsis, and pretty much covers all of our bases. Goodbye,
like
everyone.
They accidentally spilled like an episode of Real Sex into The Sopranos on this one.
Okay, I getcha. You mean in terms of like just over-focusing on giving head?
Yeah, and talking about it like in a weirdly... Like they want it to be gabby, but then they also talk about it in like a weirdly clinical way.
Yeah.
I'll play you the clip.
Go ahead.
So, Bada B stories. This is the B story about Uncle June, giving oral sex. And here they are talking about it in bed in Boca Raton. So he goes to Boca Raton.
Yeah.
With Bobby. What's her last name?
Doesn't matter. His girlfriend of 16 years.
Bobby's last name? I'm sorry. Women weren't treated as real characters back in 1999. There was no backstory.
No, she does call him he calls her Mrs. Sanfilippo.
Oh, that's her name. Yeah. It's Bobby Sanfilippo.
Yeah, say Bobby Sanfilippo.
And so he little backstory. Junior needs to go away to Boca for a bit because of the fact that the FBI, they're worried, is onto them. And so they're like, okay, just lay low for a while. So he's like, fine, I'm going to go to Boca with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And
she works for the Joint Fitters Union, which I thought was a cute little sexual.
What is the Joint Fitters?
You know, she fits his joint. Hey, she fits his joint right in there.
She fits that joint, dude. It's very
simple. I don't get it.
Well, joint is another word for the phallus.
Right, but moving beyond that, what is the Joint Fitters?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah.
That's like a pipe terminology.
Yeah,
like they fit the pipes together and there's a union.
Is that maybe, is there a union specifically who is like, listen, these two pipes ain't going together unless it's through me. Fucking
I thought
unions
it was like
rule, dude.
Fake body parts, you know, they put like,
oh yeah,
leg
joint
on. Yeah.
I can see that.
Like she like works for that. She's like a nurse for it or something.
Like hip, like doing artificial hips.
Yeah. Oh, my joints.
I take this show more seriously.
Apparently.
So this is Bobby and Junior in their love nest in Boca.
Yeah.
How's Junior?
He's catching some shut-eye.
You're such a powerhouse. When you kiss me down there, you're like a great artist. You got a real instinct for it.
Pass me some red peppers.
Mouth
sounds. I did not notice the mouth sounds.
Yeah, because you're watching it.
And by the way, mouth sounds very appropriate for an entire episode about going down on women.
Yeah, I assume they did that on purpose.
Speaking of which, just pause real quick because red peppers is an interesting kind of motif that happens throughout this entire episode. They keep talking about red peppers.
Where else did they mention red peppers?
At one point.
The eggs and peppers.
Eggs and peppers. At one point, someone is playing with a pepper on their fork. And red peppers are supposed to, like, the spiciness and whatnot is supposed to be like an aphrodisiac. It's supposed to, like, get you hard. So basically, he's like, pass me the red peppers. You know,
Junior
needs to get hard. Mm. Yeah.
You know the thrill you give.
Just keep it to yourself, okay, Roberta?
Yeah. All to myself.
More red peppers, dude.
Corrado?
Yeah.
Why the big secret?
See, this is where the scene, like, this is where this episode is weak. It's like, what is that? How is that a transition?
Yeah.
Like, the conversation was over,
mm-hmm.
and then she's like, why the big secret? It's like, what are you talking about, big secret? You guys are in bed, like, talking to each other about sex.
Okay, well, he's visibly uncomfortable talking about what he does in the bedroom vis-a-vis going down. I think that's why she's like, because she's trying to, like, hey, let's have a conversation about the fact that you're really good at giving head. And he's like, mm-hmm. Pass me the red peppers. Like he wants nothing to do with that conversation.
What are you supposed to do when someone's complimenting your oral sex skills?
You'd say thank you.
You say nom 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 yummy.
Yeah, you go oh la la la. You know, you'd say I'm ready to go again. You know, my dick might be soft, but this tongue is hard.
Or you say thank you. Mm-hmm. I, as a pussy eater, take that compliment, mm-hmm. and I will hold it close because it made me feel good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just like, you know, human communication.
I'm going to get that laminated and put it in my wallet for whenever I need to say it.
Every time someone gives you a compliment, you go, as a pussy eater.
Thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I thought the transition was fine because it led to, you know, this entire conversation, which is great. Keep it going.
I just saw it as this. I said, Roberta won't shut her goddamn mouth.
She keeps gabbing.
She doesn't seem to understand. And that's, you know, a theme through
that's
the episode.
Theme.
Shut your mouth.
Or what? Oral sex. What's so terrible about pleasing a woman?
Like, he never said it was terrible. The whole, like...
But no, I think it's implied. This whole thing is like, it's right. You're coming from a place where you're like, what do you mean people are against oral sex? But that is a thing. It is absolutely a thing where people... You know,
we were talking about this. I guess it's sort of like because I've heard that stereotype.
It's like a working class thing. It's it feels more so like an ethnic Italian and like just lower lower middle class. So
I was confused
class.
By the Italian thing because I've heard have you heard the joke about like why don't Italians eat fleas?
No,
it's because they can't get their little legs apart. Because I thought the stereotype was that.
I literally never heard that.
I thought the stereotype was that Italians like to eat
I'm
pussy.
Sorry, Mancini, are you gay?
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm a Finocchio.
You sound like a Finocchio over here.
You know, it's just the most. I mean, the show is filled with it. It's just really funny how when you watch it now, you're like, this is just pure toxic masculinity.
It is. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Nothing
I
but,
think it was conscious of it then to some degree, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's funny now. I haven't seen it in like a few years, but it's funny to be like, God damn, these dudes, they are the worst.
They are the worst.
But it's so fun to watch because there's a world you're not used to and you're like, yeah, man, don't be talking about that, you know? Because any man who likes fish is clearly gay. I don't know. Smells like sushi. Clearly you like to have it in your butt as well. How it goes.
You
want to
put some
rules.
Lemon on it? You want to have a nice tall glass of lemonade shaped like a dick?
Clearly you have no ability to be a man now.
It is a strange thing. But
that did actually make it to Game of Thrones because like when Jon Snow goes down on Ygritte, she's like, oh,
spoiler
you do that
alert.
Thing that lords do with their mouth because apparently like you know, the working class wildlings,
exactly.
they don't go down either.
Exactly.
Well, that's dirt. You can't.
Yeah.
There's no cleanliness.
It's too sweaty.
No, that's how the plague basically gets around.
Yeah,
you got to be careful, man. There's no.
You got to watch out, dude. That's how
they smuggle rats.
Yeah.
That's how Michael Douglas
got. No one's
got
wipes, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on
there's
down
no
there.
There's no wet wipes in the north. Everyone wipes. Knows this.
You're not like, ooh, let me take a quick shower just in case, you know?
But keep this going, because he explains.
You always have to talk about everything.
Well, I want to know why.
It's complicated.
Yeah. But why?
Why? Because they think if you suck pussy, you'll suck anything.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's a sign of weakness. And possibly a sign that you're a fanook.
A fag? That's ridiculous. How would the two even translate?
What are you going to do? I mean, I don't make the rules.
I love that.
You know, they both make some strong points.
Yeah. I love that so much because with him, it is literally a question of, like, who makes the rules.
He's
like,
blames societies right there. He makes it clear. Look.
Yeah. He's like, it's not me. It's this whole goddamn system that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, if a man can't go down on a woman without being accused of being a fanook, then I don't know what to say about society. Like for him, he's like, it doesn't matter that I do it and that I'm not gay. What matters is the fact that there are rules around this. And I just love, you know, so much that the it's just been agreed upon that if you go down on women that you must be gay. And everyone's like, but that makes no sense. We're like, we already agreed on the rule. We already wrote the rule down in the rule
book. Look, it is what it is,
It is what it is. And everyone's like, okay, I guess I could justify it. I mean, a clit is like a little dick. I could see it.
Remember when we whacked Jimmy the Toucan for being a pussy eater? Was that wrong too?
Yeah.
He just kept saying, follow your nose.
Yeah. And it's so weird because
he was a Fruit Loop the whole time.
Oh, come on. Oral sex. Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah.
Why is it so
like, what
bad?
Does she want from him in that scene?
It's like, honey, you're dating him or, I don't know, hooking up with a mafia member. Like, what do you, what do you think? These guys are the most, like, closed off.
Yeah.
Like, by the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? You think Alston needs to be like, no, you're right, Bobby.
Yeah.
I'm going to start wearing my pussy-eating flag.
I'm going to lead this revolution.
Like, nothing's going to change.
Starting a pussy-eating pride march.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is a weird thing that...
Yeah, some discourse, you know, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah,
it's not like you can just take it to HR and be like, you know what, guys? I think pussy eating is okay now. Yeah,
I think we've been a little hard on the pussy eaters.
Janet from Mafia HR is just like, okay, put it in writing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. I mean, and it's a theme that, you know, goes throughout this entire episode of, like, everyone kind of agreeing on this rule that pussy eating makes you a fanook. And, you know, I love it because, you know, it leads to so much more trouble than it's actually worth, you know, later.
Yeah, it brings it all down.
It brings it all down, you know.
Could you fucking Bobby.
And fucking Bobby. She couldn't keep her mouth shut about the fact that Junior can't keep her
I've
mouth
shut. I've also straight up never been in, like, a salon situation where I'd be like, and he eats my pussy. Like, where you're like, what, dude? That's a bit much.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, great. I'm glad he does, but, like...
Finish my nails.
Yeah, it's like, cool. So what's... Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it is kind of a weird thing because it's like the assumption was that she's going around and telling this to everybody,
mm-hmm.
but instead she just ends up
she's got loose lips. Sinking ships over here.
But she just tells, like, the person at her, like, salon and then.
But she doesn't. I mean,
she doesn't.
Had she told her in the past.
Yeah,
she must have been going. You get the impression that she's just been going on.
But it's like that woman.
When he eats my pussy, I come so good.
It's weird though that, like, the woman who she's talking to immediately goes like, "You're so lucky. He eats your pussy." It's like, or maybe like, what if she's so lucky because he treats her well?
Right.
It's so weird that that's the thing. Or that woman hasn't murdered you yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so lucky.
You're so lucky. He hasn't murdered you and he eats your pussy. He's a real fine.
Yeah.
He's been dating you for 16 years and hasn't committed. Good guy.
It's actually very interesting to me that a man that age can still, because it is kind of a, like, claustrophobic act that takes a lot of energy. Like, you're kind of like in between two legs, and you have to have some sort of stamina.
Yeah. You got to have jaw and mouth stamina.
Like, I can imagine if he's doing, then he pulls his ox and he's like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
He's not that old. He's like late
Junior?
60s.
Junior looks like he's 80.
Junior looks like he's falling apart.
He's been looked like he's 80 though for, like, most of his career.
It is
weird. Even
he
in Godfather 2.
He does stay like that for as long as he's on the show.
He does, and he gets older and older, but he still looks roughly the same as he did in the first season. It's crazy.
I mean, when you have short gray hair and thick glasses, you kind of just always...
Yeah, you've aged yourself already.
Yeah.
You're like jumping the gun on being an old person.
I mean, I guess it takes like a... You can't have back problems if you're going down. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I got to say, I have noticed that it is a position in which you really have to be, you know, you have to do a little yoga.
I bet she sits on his face so he doesn't have to move.
Oh, I would hope so, because he's very
old. I can't imagine him being like, all right, 1 second, let me just turn around. Yeah. Okay, oh, I'm going to slowly creep. Oh, I'm creeping down the bed.
I mean,
okay.
He's spry enough.
I'm going to lie on my stomach,
yes,
and I'm going to flip my legs back like a schoolgirl talking to her girlfriends on the phone.
And then afterward, he's like, all right, flip me back over and pull me up on the bed. Like, I don't understand the physicality of it. Is
I mean, he's spry enough for golf. I think he could easily
He's a spry
down.
Guy.
Yeah, he's I a spry so. Guy.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's a spry guy. So other Bada B stories.
Sure.
There's obviously the soccer coach, Hauser.
Coach Hauser.
At something day school.
Verbum Day.
Yeah. And apparently he's a good soccer coach.
Everyone loves him.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah.
Gets the best out of those players.
Yeah, he's going to get him to the state finals or some shit. I don't know how soccer works. But everyone's super into him. And then he, you know, talks about leaving to coach at Rhode Island.
That's right.
Like a university. He gets a university job. They're like, you piece of shit. Yeah. How dare you move up in your career?
Yeah. And then they try to extort him.
Yeah, they didn't really like offer, like they offered him, I mean, if they would have just paid, why didn't they just pay him like the extra salary that he'd be missing out
to
on?
To me, that extortion move was the weirdest thing ever, because
like
they clearly loved this guy and his ability. And rather than kind of like trying to sweeten the pot for him in any number of ways,
anyway,
they could have. They were like, let's immediately threaten him. Which was a strange move, I thought, because it's like, well, certainly.
I mean, they didn't threaten him. They gave him a TV.
First, they gave him a TV, and then they took his dog. Like, they went directly from, like, oh, you're not going to take our bribe? Kill this motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that is a very mafia thing where they're like, oh, we're going to get.
True.
Like, oh, you could stay. We got you this nice stolen TV. And then he says no. And they're like, well, all right, I got to kill your dog now.
Yeah.
But you threw the TV in my face.
Yeah, it seemed weird to me the switch from like
it was
massive
quick.
Respect.
See, everything in this episode was like a little quick, like the transitions didn't quite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were like a little creaky.
Okay.
I mean, even in the first like soccer scene,
where
Silvio is like, he's got his shirt off and he's yelling at the ref.
I loved that.
It's good.
At one point, he's like, I'm going to make your team forfeit if you don't back up. And then he just kicks dirt on his feet like he's at a fucking baseball game. And everyone cheers him on.
Yeah, he walks back and he says, hey, and then everybody gives him a hand.
No, that was great. Yeah. I love that. That's exactly what would happen with Silvio Dante at a soccer match in high school. I thought that was perfect.
Yeah,
that's the part I struggle with the most, because I'm like, would they really be there? Like, would they care that much?
I mean,
I feel like they only care about like hyper local, like hyper.
That is their whole vibe.
I mean, their whole vibe is just like being up in each other's business way too much.
Yeah,
but see, I would like, literally be like, Dad, fuck off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think about how up in someone else's, think about how up in your coworker's business you would have to be to care that the boss eats pussy.
Yeah.
And for the boss to be scared of you finding out
that he eats pussy.
Yeah. I mean, we literally can't. We can't even imagine this world in terms of just the stigma of eating pussy.
I mean, this finally spoiled the mafia for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This did it for you.
Yeah, if you can't be proud about eating pussy, what's the point?
Yeah, that is true.
It's all for nothing.
So before all this, you were like, hey, honestly, like Mancini's kind of an Italian name.
Like, it looks pretty good. They got some TVs.
Yeah.
Everyone's
in a union.
They're always back behind a butcher shop.
Yeah, they're hanging out in the day.
A lot of cured meats.
Yeah. No day job. They're tanning all day. They're having sex with strippers.
Hey, bada bing, bada bing.
Hey, bada boo.
Yeah.
Titties.
Lots of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I forgot about Bada Bing a little. And then I was like, oh, yes, titties.
When I rewatched the show, I realized that the bees in Bada Bing had nipples on the end of them. And I was just like, badass.
I was trying hard to find out like who plays the strippers in this, just to find out. Like, I assume they're real strippers.
One of them looked familiar.
Oh, you know, a young Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. You know, I made my start as a stripper in Bada Bing on The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
I mean, I could.
I mean, a young Joan Cusack. Normal age Joan Cusack.
I definitely think that's the dream for some of them.
I mean, it's a good start.
Yeah.
It's a credit, dude. It fucking, I would show my hard dick on Euphoria for a fucking HBO credit.
Just being arrested for being a pedophile. It's like being pulled out of a room by cops in cuffs.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Put that right on your cover of your acting.
Yeah, that's on resume. That's on my reel, dude. Just my hard dick.
I think probably the most insane scene in this show, in this episode, is the girl slitting her wrists in public.
Yeah, who slits their wrists on a swing set?
So, I was like, you trying to get caught, honey? You trying to do some damage? You do it in private.
Yeah, yeah. So to more background. So what ends up happening with Coach Hauser is at first, you know, he's talking about leaving. And you're finding that Meadow is acting strange when it comes to this guy. And Allie.
Well, you see the look. He gives her a look.
Yeah,
when they're
he
playing
activates
soccer.
Her. He's like, come on, Allie. Yeah. Don't you want that D? You better score a goal.
Yeah, you want me to leave my fucking wife, you better kick the goal. And then you see that same girl on a swing set crying, cutting herself. And
as one does. I really liked the halter tops in that scene. It really brought
Oh, yeah, they were great.
They're like, Allie, where did you go?
We've
and
got
she's
these
slitting
new...
her wrist.
We have these new chokers, and we have.
Like, speaking of
jellies.
Transitions, that's a hard cut to the darkest scene in the episode.
Definitely. And I gotta say, in terms of, like, the cutting your wrist, to me, it qualifies for one of my favorite segments. It's the 90s.
It's the 90s. Parents are supposed to discuss sex with their children. It's the 90s. It's the 90s. 90s.
So, in terms of 90s references, because this is still a very 90s show, mm-hmm. Number one, you've got, I think, cutting to me. Cutting to me.
Cutting is very 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people still cut, but in the 90s, it was like a thing. Like, people were. It was a popular thing to do. People were cutting. Yeah. People mm-hmm. were talking mm-hmm. about cutting. Nowadays, everyone's just on Xanax. So mm-hmm. it's like, you don't, you know, in order to deal with your pain, you don't cut.
You, or
don't,
you tase yourself.
You just tase yourself.
Technology.
You do a YouTube prank and then you take and then you take some Xanax, you know? Like, you do the cinnamon challenge. No, I mean, it just felt very 90s, and there's this scene.
Yeah, there's no followers in cutting these days, you know?
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No, exactly. You can't get clout from cutting mm-mm. the way you used to. And there was this nice...
I mean, that's just a thing that you have to have done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you have wrist scars, face tats. It's just part of the...
At this point, yeah, the face tat is the new cutting. That's what it is. Mm. Yeah. If you want to cut nowadays, you open a SoundCloud account, mm-hmm. you do mm-hmm. some mumble rap, you get some face tats. That's cutting. Mm-hmm. And there's this nice little 90s
exchange.
You have
to overdose on Xanax at least six times.
At least six times. It's part of it. Shout out Lil Xan.
Was it a genuine suicide attempt, or was it a suicidal gesture? Small cutting is the clinical term.
What's large cutting? OJ in a missing tracksuit?
We got an OJ reference. And once again, very 90s show. And there was a third reference to Kurt Cobain at mm-hmm. one point. He's like,
also,
she wasn't going Cobain. This was just a suicidal gesture. Yeah. And I was just like, hell yeah, dude.
They also had the song that they were watching the video for.
Yeah.
Was
Spoon.
No, it was by Morphine.
Oh, Morphine, that's what it was.
Cure for Pain, which sounds a lot like the Sopranos theme song, in where it's like that weird transition between like pop and some sort of Chemical Brothers. It's a really terrible song. Here you go.
Yeah, come on a little closer by the front of the stage. I say, come on a little closer, I got something to say. Yeah, come on a little closer.
Well, I'm in the same. Oh, I forgot. There's a bunch of sax.
And I feel right now.
It's like the sax solo escaped the 80s and then it just landed right there.
You know what it reminds me of? It's like even shittier Cake. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's like a very much like a bad Cake song.
It's a bad Cake
song. What do
you mean
even shittier? Cake is great.
Quit crying, Mancini. What are you, gay? Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, you like cake?
You like cake?
You want freaking cake, listener.
First, you like cake. Next
Betty likes the frosting because it reminds him of pussy.
It reminds him of the cream from the pussy. Yeah. And you know what else has cream?
You think you can escape
a
this?
A dick.
So you must clearly like to suck dick as well.
Yeah.
You put the puzzle pieces together and you must be gay.
They really constructed like a logical
tinker
toy there.
To break that down, you really have to do a lot of mental gymnastics. Okay. doing something that's very heterosexual, how can it be gay?
Yeah.
Just like, I guess.
Something a gay man would really, really not like to do.
Yeah. Mm.
Is actually the gayest thing you can do. Yeah.
Think about it.
Think about it. The earth is flat.
There is 100% these dudes are flat earthers.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's the, you know, the next level here is just like Sopranos and set in 2019.
Yeah.
And it's just Paulie going, the earth must be flat. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Bali walnuts.
Bali walnuts. Eating pussy is gay and the earth is flat.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, you know, this had a lot of 90s references to it and whatnot. I mean, but I got to say the cutting part that was, to me, an interesting thing in this episode, mostly because of the fact that they completely... It was an interesting way of ignoring kind of like what was clearly a woman in pain. Most of the time in this episode, every time like they mention the cutting and whatnot, no one puts together that she's clearly being like...
they thought it's because her parents got
divorced.
It's funny.
No one asks her anything.
Yeah, exactly. No one asks her anything.
Great, Allie. So what do you think's going on
with Tony
Allie?
Moves on. Yeah. Carmela moves on.
It's like Tony goes to see his therapist. And that girl's like laying on a couch, like.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing because it came from a very specific time where it's like, listen, people cut every day. You know, it was probably from listening to Marilyn Manson. You know, we find out that Coach Hauser is a molester. Yep. Do you call it a molester?
A pedophile?
It's a pedophile. A molester just implies no sex. It implies like groping, right?
Right, because I think she. Was clearly seduced by him, so I think pedophilia.
Yeah.
I feel like the pedophiles always complain when you talk about liking adolescent girls,
because
they're like, oh, that's not pedophile. That's and there's like another word for it.
That's tight pussy.
I forget what it was, but I've heard that argument before.
Liking tight
fresh
pussy.
Meat, buddy, okay?
Liking tight pussy is the gayest thing you can do. Having
I like
sex
to
with
get
your
them
wife.
Fresh, okay?
Having sex with your wife is super gay.
My wife's like a hallway. I like it to be like a little fish mouth.
Yeah. Next thing you
I
know.
I regret that. Just cut out everything I said. Yeah.
All of it makes sense.
But before that, they're trying to lean on Hauser to stay the coach. And his reaction, like, I don't buy anything about his reaction in this scene. I'll play it for you, where Paulie shows up at his house with the big TV.
Oh, yes, Clarence.
Which is another 90s thing, which I forgot to mention, is that he describes the TV as HD compatible.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
How's my boy today, huh? Go.
You already know something's going to happen with the dog because they make like a really big thing about
it. Yeah, they make
this
a point.
This dog has a personality.
Yeah. Hope nothing happens to him.
Yeah, I think every plot point is very just like a blinking blinking light in neon in this episode.
I'm looking for Coach Hauser.
That's me.
Petey, come here.
A little something for me.
Petey, get away from the Italians.
Your friends at the Bada Bing Club. Brand new, surround sound, HD TV compatible.
Well, tell them thanks, but...
Hey, this fucker's getting heavy here.
If this is about Rhode Island, you can tell your friends it's a done deal. I already signed.
I don't know what it's about, but the TV stays here. Put it down.
No, I mean it. Pick it up. Get the goddamn thing off my property.
Like, he just went like 0 to 100 right away there.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I'd be like, I'll take the TV, but I'm still leaving.
Yeah, you could be like, all right, leave it here and, run along.
Bye. Yeah.
Pretty.
Look, pal, I don't think you quite understand.
Oh, I understand, all right, only too well. You tell your friends I know all about them.
If you did, you'd do what they want.
Is that a threat?
Yeah, obviously.
Quickly, things change. Let me tell you something, Guido.
My name is Clarence.
You're going to call him a racial slur, too? Who is this guy, Elliot Ness?
I love it.
No.
Listen here, you goddamn Dago Wop.
He's like, my name's actually Polly Walnuts, okay?
Hey, what's with the racial slur? My name is a Polly Walnut. And you're eating my pizza.
I
have friends in law enforcement, and they would call this extortion. Come on.
Bye.
He's like, I don't know that word.
But I knew the name.
You tell those assholes, Don Houser will not be intimidated. I will not be threatened or bribed. I go where I want to, when I want to. Hey!
And then what's the hay for? Like, he's expected just to stay there while he berates them and calls them weirdo?
You know, he did everything he could to elicit a reaction, and they're just leaving with the TV right there.
Boy.
I'll
tell you what, I didn't like this guy from the start.
Well, you know, your instincts were right, because he is a rapist. But it was interesting, because, like, it gets into this entire... thing that is like a repeating thing in The Sopranos, which is like, does Tony have to right every wrong? And like, Tony usually feels the need to be like, okay,
Lorraine Bracco, is that you?
Yeah, exactly.
She literally asked him that. Do you have to right every wrong? Did she ask him that?
And yeah, he's like, she does.
Oh, the questions.
Yeah, and that includes in later episodes when similar things happen. No spoilers. But he
rights a wrong. That's the spoiler.
He's trying to right wrong sometimes, and sometimes he stops himself. And in this one, what's interesting is Artie Bucco has a great Bada B story.
The most tragic character.
I know. He's such a
fuck up. I mean, this whole
plot
line is pretty good in like, I mean, obviously, like, they're right on when they're saying, like, if you go and beat up that soccer coach, you're really only doing it for yourself. It's a face-saving device where you're like, well, what if I find this out about my daughter's soccer coach and I don't do anything,
then they'll
think I'm some kind of pussy.
They'll think I, like, eat pussy or something, or something more gay, like having sex with a woman I love.
So they might
think I buy flowers for romantic purposes.
But then they sort of paint themselves into a corner, because then they're like, they're all like, want retribution.
Yeah, right.
But then they're like, yeah, but you just want retribution for yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, but then now what? And so they're all painted into their own separate corners.
Yeah,
it's
very
funny.
Artie is interesting in this episode because he starts off with, he is turning down everything that Tony is offering him. He wants to, like, hey, we could go in on this like credit scam or something, or is a loan sharking scam. And
has his restaurant burned down?
It has burned down.
And I think Tony's trying to give him a loan to buy a new restaurant at this point, right?
Yeah. He's trying to help him out.
Now,
and,
quick cue, do you think his restaurant's name, because I don't remember what it was.
Vesuvio.
Oh, Vesuvio. I was going to say, was it Buca de Beppo? That's what I always joke. I was like, what if he was the one who got his life back together and started Buca de Beppo?
You guys, I've got a new restaurant. It's called Olive Garden. Unlimited
Artie
breadsticks.
Bucco. I do understand it's Buca, but his last name's Bucco. But he would have made it work.
Yeah, he would have made it work.
This whole thing is just a Buca de Beppo prequel.
Yeah. He's just, so I lost Lasuvio's. Now I'm thinking maybe bigger plates.
Bigger plate salad.
Family style?
Yeah. Everyone at 8 p.m. every night, we sing
only,
That's Amore.
I only came on this show to talk about that, so I'm going to go now.
Yeah. Bye. But like, so Artie is turning down everything because his whole thing is like trying to not get directly involved monetarily with the mob because he's scared of.
And his wife's like, Artie, goddamn episode. What's her name? Charmaine.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. Charmaine Bucco is.
She is so bitchy.
She's very bitchy, but she's also like one of the smartest people on the show.
Stop her husband from getting involved in the mob. Yeah. Like, God, she's such a bitch.
Ew, fuck her.
Tone it down. You're shrieking, Charmaine.
Yeah, she's so shrill with her correct assumptions about the mafia. Artie has always been kind of someone who's like, listen, I like hanging out with you guys and I like being next to you. That's the extent of our relationship. And so he wants to reap the benefits of being in the mafia without actually being in it. Mm-hmm. So there's that great moment when... he's mad at them for trying to like extort the coach, and he's like, you know, what are you doing? You guys are idiots, you know, like don't do this to this poor guy, you know, you're threatening, blah blah blah. And then they're like, he's a child molester. And he goes straight up like, he should die.
I got that clip.
Oh, you got it. Great.
Yeah. Fucked? It's crazy.
That's why that kid slit her wrist, you stonad. And my daughter should know this shit? My daughter should have to think about that filth? No. No. That self-righteous prick put his dick in my little girl's soccer teammate. Yeah. She's in 11th grade, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my God. Chiari, he drove her home from the supermarket one night when it was raining.
Oh, my little girl. Fucking degenerate son of a bitch.
He deserves to die. Betraying children?
Buddy, believe me, he ain't gonna be doing that shit no more.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, his immediate turn. And then once again, he turns when he is confronted by Charmaine.
It's like she wants retribution. That's how the conversation starts.
Yeah.
But then she's like, well, not in that way.
Yeah, right.
And then she's like, but it's like, well, okay, but what do you want in this situation?
But what's interesting about that is then, you know, he puts Tony in the position, like, don't kill him. And then it ends with the cops just come and arrest him. And it was like, I had the same thought where I was like, well, what are you supposed to do? And then when the cops came, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you let the law take care of it.
Yeah.
I mean, but if they do take care of it.
Oh, yeah. He'll be acquitted. There's not enough proof.
There's no proof.
In reality of things, like, that's not going to end well. We should have killed him.
Yeah, that's also a good point.
In retrospect, he could have used a little knock around.
You know, that's a good point. Of all the people that Tony decided not to kill, not killing the coach is probably the
most... That's the one I was like, kill this guy.
That's the most questionable decision. Yeah.
Out of character.
Sopranos always makes... Watching Sopranos immediately reverts me back into a bad person.
I don't know why.
It just always goes
on
like...
Because all the characters are so terrible.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I'm like suggesting people do bad things. I can't steal it. And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? They should have killed them.
Full of people that probably deserve to be killed.
I know, it's such good writing, so I'm convinced it's okay.
Yeah, they do a good job of, like, most of the people they kill, you're like, I get it. But then occasionally there's, like, you know, these, like, random acts of violence, you know, done, perpetrated by, like, fucking sociopaths, and you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right, they're bad. You keep forgetting they're bad because they love their family so much. Yeah.
I love my family.
So another creaky transition is like when Tony starts giving Junior the business about his cunnilingus.
Oh, you thought this was creaky?
Also, I'll play it for you. Like, okay. So Tony's busting Mikey Palmese's balls.
Yeah.
And then Junior starts in on Tony.
Will you let the man tee you off? You yap worse than six barbers. If you'd have shut up during that game against Mountain Lakes, you wouldn't have missed that fucking fly ball. I was ashamed to face my friends.
Nice.
Like, bringing up a high school baseball game? Really?
Also, like, you were ashamed to face your friends over a high school... Like, I mean, but that's the thing. Get the fuck out of here.
That is... I mean, more to the whole thing...
I was ashamed to face my friends.
They love the high school sports over there. They don't care if it's women's soccer or if it's, like, you know, a high school football or baseball. Like, that's a thing. It's like it's a theme. It's a running theme.
It's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. It's a Jersey thing.
So what do you think? You thought he went too hard on him randomly right there?
It just feels very creaky. Like, it's like none of the transitions in this episode are like smooth. It's very just like telegraphed. Like, well, you see, Tony was upset because Junior belittled him, so now he's got to belittle Junior.
Right, but I did feel like it was an interesting. Like, I didn't look at it in terms of like, oh, you know, Junior went too hard on him right there. I looked at it more as like, you are now seeing how deep that sports shit runs with these guys. Like you're bringing up.
I didn't fully believe it in the moment.
You're bringing up some random thing that happened, some random humiliation that happened, you know, decades ago in high school sports.
It's an interesting thing.
Fuck you! I'm going to destroy you.
Because his life could have gone a totally different direction.
It could have.
If he had just caught that ball.
If he had just caught that ball.
He would have become a footballer.
He would have been
just like that Jim Belushi.
Who ate pussy?
Yeah. Pussy eating football.
Which Jim Belushi movie?
It's like he
canine.
No,
it's about the dog.
It's like he didn't catch that ball in high school, and he's regretted it his entire life. And then Magical Michael Caine comes along.
Which
one
is
like, this? And he's like, he gives him the chance to do it over.
Inception.
And then he's like rich in the future. I don't remember. This is like mid-90s, early 90s.
Leo.
Yeah. Inception. Leo, it's got to be. Ken Watanabe.
Hold on, I'm looking this up.
Are you just naming people who were in Inception?
Just the cast. Ellen Page.
Ellen Page, I believe it's pronounced.
The guy who played baseball, Bane. Michael Caine.
Bang.
Mr. Destiny. Wow. First 1990.
Hey, Google.
1990. That was the year I was born. Do you guys feel old yet?
I do. Kinda. I do.
Actually, now that you told me this came out in March, I was 8 years old watching this.
Ew.
You know, actually, you know what makes me feel old is the synopsis of this movie. Although Larry has comfortable middle-class life married to his teenage sweetheart and in an executive position at a sporting goods firm, it still rankles him that he struck out in the last at-bat of his high school baseball championship. When he stumbles into an unfamiliar bar on his 35th birthday.
Wow.
I thought that guy was so old when I saw that movie. And now he's younger than me. The bartender fixes Larry a special cocktail that sends him back, blah, blah, blah.
I'm still younger than him.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Barely.
Dude. Hell yeah, dude. I'm only 34, dude.
I'm 12, so beat that.
Ew. You can't even be here.
Police are coming.
Right this now. Is molestation.
So then Tony starts busting his balls, and that's a little creaky too. I don't know.
No.
It's not creaky.
Junior, what?
It's not creaky at all. He just humiliated.
Uncle June's in a muff.
Yeah.
What? Oh, did I say muff? I meant rough.
No, you didn't.
Sure. What's that smell? Did you guys go to a sushi bar? The
fuck's he talking about?
I thought you were a bacala man, Uncle June. What are you doing eating sushi?
You fucking run off at the mouth, you know that?
South of the border. Down Mexico way.
Hey, listen, my friend. At least I can deal with my own problems.
It's a weird scene. The whole scene made me feel weird. And
I love it.
Now,
what is the subtext?
Baklava a metaphor for?
He said bakla, and I don't know what bakla.
Bakla is salted cod.
Oh, I thought he said baklava for some reason.
So
wait, I was like,
so bakla.
You like a flaky pussy?
You know you like the walnuts in that pussy.
Yeah, so what he said was basically like, hey, I thought you were someone who liked this kind of fish, but you like raw fish.
Yeah.
Which just makes no sense.
No, you like
really.
The salt, the fish.
But no, it's great because like everyone around them, which is like just Mikey Palmisi and who else? Oh, Sil? They have no idea what each of them are talking about.
Yeah, they also like don't give a fuck. They're like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, can we play fucking golf here?
Yeah, if someone did that while I was golfing, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go to the next hole. You guys are being really weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a great moment at work. I have a job, no big deal. Where two people just started like kind of, you know, getting mad at each other. And then someone just goes, so I was thinking today, guys, I mean, as much as I don't want to spoil this incredibly awkward moment, and then just moved on. And I was like, that's the greatest way of like, of just defusing an awkward situation is to just go, this is a very awkward moment.
That thing is like the power dynamics in mafia that doesn't really let any of them speak up.
That's
they
right.
just have to sit there quietly, right. even though they're like, okay, you like see pussy. Well, I'm not really allowed to say anything because Junior technically my boss.
Yeah,
so like,
right,
what am
yeah.
I supposed to do about it? Anyway, this is really just kind of a beef between them.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
he's allowed to eat pussy. I don't really think he's gay, but I'm not really allowed to say anything. But it would really help the situation. But honestly, like, who cares? I'm just going to sit here and stare at the ground. My hair feels nice. It just looks so poofed.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
That's like Silvio's inner monologue.
Yeah, that is. That is Silvio's.
I didn't even think he would know what's happening in that scene.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he? Sushi? What is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
Muff. I mean, rough.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I mean, I thought he gave it away pretty much right there and then.
I was like, this is too much. You're taking it too far. Also, no one cares.
The question is like, is Sil on board with the eating pussy is gay thing? Because he's like, if you're not and you heard that, you'd be like, Are you throwing shade at him because he fucks?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Sounds like he's old, but he's still getting
some. Yeah.
Honestly, he feels quite blessed.
He feels very blessed, yeah.
But thing is, didn't Carmela say that Tony eats her out once a year or something for her birthday?
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun. I was like, hey, a birthday.
Yeah.
Sushi for a birthday.
And then he was just like, don't you ever mention that to anyone. And it's just, it's so funny because it's like, you know, they're all hypocrites. They all eat at the pussy. But there's rules.
Eat at the pussy.
You have to eat at the pussy. Like it's a calzone. A cheesy pussy.
Once a year.
Once a year, dude.
You go fishing.
That's rough.
So, real quick, I think we have, I found something for malapropism corner.
Oh, there's a few, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one I found was the Escondido Brothers?
Escobedo Brothers,
Yeah, which was...
Menendez's?
Yeah, an obvious reference to the Menendez Brothers.
Oh, okay,
brother.
That's what I thought. And then I was like, did they say like Escondido?
Yeah, it was like Escondido Brothers or something. And I was
like... They murdered their parents.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty great reference. What did you find?
Well, I was going to switch over to Gabo Vafangul.
Oh, get a Gabo Vafangul.
Gabo Vafangul. I think it's in this scene where... oh, no, I already played the Artie Finds Out scene. I guess we miss it. Anyway, he calls him a stunad.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he says stunad.
And we go to our friend Stevie B, as we always do.
Stevie B, shout out.
In situations like this.
There's a great YouTube channel, this guy Stevie B, and all he does is explain Italian-American slang.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, how you all doing? Hey, I'm Stevie B, and the Italian-American slang word of the day is stunad. Stunad. Every once in a while, Meaty and Petey asked me a not-so-small question. He comes into my office the other day, sits down and says, you ever wonder why there's no mouse-flavored cat food? Stands up and walks out of my office. I gotta tell you, that Meaty and Petey sometimes can be a touch stunad. Merigan. Every once in a while, my cousin Peter asks me a very dim-witted question. Just the other day, he came into my office and asked, did you ever wonder why Purina doesn't make a mouse-flavored cat food? And then leaves my office as I shake my head in wonder how stupid he really can be. Stunad!
Beautiful.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know what's funny is because like most of these Italian slang words, the context gives it away.
Yeah.
But I just love hearing Stevie B talk. Mm-hmm. He's very
good. He's got a great voice.
Oh, he's got a great
stunad.
Voice.
Stunad.
Stunad. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. They're all stunads.
Yeah,
in the end. But that when that was what was interesting to me when they're at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about Bobby, and then Carmella keeps like giggling to herself. Yeah. It's like that's how far that went. Yeah, like it doesn't make sense that it's that. Like it's not that interesting that old guy eats. I mean, I guess it kind of. It'd be funny if someone told me. I'd be like, that's fucking funny. But then I probably wouldn't be like. You are not going to believe this random dude that you've never heard of. He's really old, but he's fucking pussy.
Like a gay lord.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy that it got to Carmella. Yeah.
And then she turned into, like, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Person, yeah. Which the whole dinner. I have right here.
Uncle June, how was Boca?
Wonderful. I don't go down enough.
That's not what I heard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that should have been the dead giveaway.
Nothing. I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Last time, Aunt Bobby bought me live piranha.
You believe that was a piranha? Come on.
That woman is not your aunt.
Libby, I warned you. Start that seat. Bobby's a sweet, sweet girl.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Right, what did I say? This wife of yours, she's got the giggles.
So... First of all,
as in she's a sweet, sweet girl. Like as in she's as good, in a sweet, pea.
Good as sweet pea.
That woman is not
And I'm
that's
interested.
The character I identify with the most.
Livia.
There should have been way more Livia this episode.
But I will say,
I can't eat you. Take me home.
Take me home. What's interesting about that comment is it implies a little bit to me because she sounded halfway jealous a little bit of Bobby. The fact that
I think she's just mad that he's still like a bachelor.
Kind yeah, of and she's like, ah.
Oh, that's interesting. You think just the fact that they're not married, Livia is just like, you know,
she's bitter.
Shame.
Like she probably had to marry like this guy when she was like 18, 19.
Johnny Soprano.
Mm-hmm. And then she's stuck with him her whole life. And he's out there. He's in his 60s.
He's out there. He's just slaying some pee, just eating a whole buffet of pussy.
Mm-hmm. I like when he's talking about the soccer game and she's like, nobody tells me anything. He's like, and he's like, do you see me telling your mother this or your grandmother this right now? That was a really great moment because she is I am Livia to it. I'm always like like if you see me at home, like I'm a mess, like my boyfriend will be like, can you move your feet? I'm like, do you think I'm fat? And I'm like a creature of the night, and that's me. And like I said, I died a long time ago, but I'm still being seen.
Yeah, like a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just Livia always reminds me perfectly of my grandma. So when things happen on the show that don't seem perfectly in character, like I'm relating it to the character that is super grounded, that is super believable. Always. Yeah. Like the way she's, my favorite thing is just, she's still guilting you even when you're doing something nice for her.
Yeah.
Like you,
because you did it late.
Yeah.
Should have been doing that earlier.
Yeah. I should have already known. I love that. Yeah. I love that. And she's also, she starts out the episode in a graveyard, just like over the grave of Johnny Soprano.
Yeah, because old Italian ladies are morbid as fuck.
That's all she does is look through the obituaries and visit graveyards. That's her whole thing. It's just like another dead
person.
Yeah,
I thought they were like trying to play her up being like, God, she's so bitchy telling Anthony out to run around with weird...
Like graveyard dogs?
graveyard I was like, why is he running around with those dogs?
No, he really shouldn't be chasing graveyard dogs around.
Like, that dog bites you. Goodbye, Anthony Jr.
Yeah, you'll be in that grave.
Graveyard dogs. Like, what is this, a foreign country? Get out of here.
Is this Eastern Bloc?
Yeah.
The fuck? Are they in Moldova? Here's a graveyard dog.
Are we going to get whacked?
We have a wonderful graveyard dog. You will love them.
Oh, why?
Hey, we are in middle.
That's funny. One time I came and you were doing a podcast. Whoa.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I went and did Lady to Lady and she had just finished.
That's a crazy.
Dude, we're just meant to see each other in passing.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I guess that's our signal to wrap it up.
Yeah, well.
So early too.
All right. So what is our final segment?
We did them all, didn't
Gabagool.
We?
Gabagool.
Oh, yeah. We were going to get back to Malapropism Corner.
What is that?
That is, this show is filled with like weird malapropisms where they just say the wrong thing.
Yeah, what's
thing.
A malapropism?
Well, like trying to say the Menendez brother instead of saying the Escondido brothers. Like they say it all the time.
Oh.
They I mean, what's an example?
They make references, but then like don't use
They get the
real...
wrong reference. Ah. They talk about, you know, we got to do this Scarface style. Two bazookas under each arm. And it's like, that's not what happened in Scarface. But they just get a lot of things wrong. What else did you find?
We got to do this heroin like Scarface.
The malapropisms?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't write anything down for this one.
Oh, I thought you had a bunch.
No.
Oh, well.
That's why I pivoted to Gabava Fungo.
Oh, I didn't know that was a pivot. I thought you were like, I got a bunch of those. But
respect
we'll end
my
on,
pivot.
We'll end on those. Oh, all right. Well, in that case, all in all, I got to say this is one of my favorite episodes of the season because of the fact...
You are an idiot.
No, you're an idiot.
This one
there's
is
so
like the
many
worst
episodes
one.
Left.
I loved seeing some background on a vulnerable junior and kind of seeing him go from like...
We didn't even talk about the pie scene.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Hell yeah.
The pie scene to me was... it was interesting because she screams, "Don't hit me, Corrado."
The pie scene.
And so he pies her. And it was the first time I'd ever seen someone take a pie to the face where I was like, oh, man, that is a violent act. You know, it's
well,
like...
Well, he shouldn't have hit her. I do think in all cases like that, pieing someone in the face to get out your aggression towards them is the, you know, the most...
If you're going to hit someone, do it with a pie.
If you're going to pie someone in the face, it's like the best option.
Yeah.
I guess. It feels almost like tarring and feathering someone.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, but that's... No, I don't know about that.
I mean,
tar
feels
is
more,
very hard to get off.
It's more humiliating than getting just like
true,
punched.
True, but I would rather be pied in the face than punched.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
Not
that's
me,
the thing.
Not even close.
People
oh,
have
your toxic masculinity is coming out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're so toxic. Yeah. Well, you know what you need?
I'd rather punch me. Don't put a pie
need,
in
you
my
need
face.
To eat some pussy.
I feel like Mancini doesn't eat enough pussy.
Getting
is the problem.
Punched shows more respect to you than
well,
getting...
that was the thing. I actually thought like people have been hit and or killed for running their mouths, and the fact that like he showed a lot like it was a really heartbreaking scene when afterwards she's left there crying with pie on her face and he walks out the door and he's crying.
Yeah, so that was supposedly a reference to Public Enemy where Jimmy Cagney like
that's right
rubs the grapefruit and that scene's so weird too. I think they're it's like an homage to a weird moment in
so
like
it's a
way
weird
older
homage.
Thing
yeah
so
yeah.
It feels like a weird moment in this too.
Ah, that's interesting.
It feels weird. I don't know if it makes me uncomfortable just because it's like so mean, but...
Well, I'll say that this all leads to one of my favorite Sopranos lines. What was it? Therapy and cunnilingus brought us to this, you know? And I'm like, you needed this Cunnilingus episode to get to that point. And for that, I thank it.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
So.
Junior, I love you.
Junior.
Junior, no.
Junior, you're a good man. But you should have hit her with your fist.
And she could have overpowered him.
Oh,
he's
definitely.
So weak.
He is a weak old
man. That's why
man.
He didn't do it. He's like, honestly, she'll probably break my wrist.
Yeah, exactly. I need more red peppers before I hit her. All right. Well, that is another episode of Pod Yourself a Gun in the bank. I want to thank our guest, Anna. Thank you so much for coming on. Talk
thank
Sopranos.
Thank you. You guys got to come back on my competing podcast, Sopran Yourself a Gun. So now I have to talk like this. I'm going to go like steal something and go to jail because I watch this show again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we would love to go on Sopran Yourself a Sprung.
Sopran Yourself a Pussy. It's actually an entire show about eating pussy while watching Sopranos.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? I like to encourage niche. It.
Oh, wait. I just realized it. Okay. So eating pussy means you'll eat anything. Like what's right next to the pussy? The butt. And then eating the butt.
Uh-oh.
What's who else has a butt? A man. That's why it's gay.
I can't believe it took you this long to bring up your brand of eating butt.
Lum, 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 lum. Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And until next time, don't stop believing. Hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm... Do your full name. Come on.
Oh, I forgot.
Fucking unprofessional.
Okay. And in 3, 2.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.